Dr. Pam Popper, 614-523-8716. Good morning, everybody. Today I'm continuing our discussion of Dr. Campbell's phenomenal book called Whole, Rethinking the Science of Nutrition. And yesterday we were talking about reductionism in the supplement business, and he provides several examples in the book, starting with vitamin E as an example. In 1993, a study reported an association between higher blood levels of vitamin E and lower risk of major coronary disease. Now, the study measured vitamin E from food, not from supplements, and even though the study only showed a correlation and no cause and effect relationship, the researchers reported that, quote, vitamin E supplements may reduce the risk of coronary artery disease, end of quote. But follow-up studies showed that vitamin E supplements don't reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease or cancer, diabetes, cataracts, chronic obstructive lung disease, and a meta-analysis of several dozen studies involving over 300,000 subjects showed that taking vitamin E, beta-carotene, and vitamin A increased mortality. But what happened in this case, and it happens so often, not just in the traditional medical field, but in the quote-unquote alternative field too, is that a study is published that reaches a conclusion that really doesn't say much. It may, you know, the operant term is may. Everybody jumps off the cliff and starts prescribing vitamin E, and by the time the evidence is in showing that it really isn't such a good idea, it's very difficult to get people to change their ways. And of course, the alternative community complains about the traditional health community, that that's what they're guilty of when the alternative community does the same thing. This isn't limited to vitamin E. Omega-3 fatty acid supplements are also maybe more popular than vitamin E, but analysis of 89 studies concluded that taking omega-3 fatty acids, quote, does not have a clear effect on total mortality, combined cardiovascular events, or cancer, end of quote. Another study that included over 200,000 people followed for over 15 years concluded that taking omega-3 supplements increased the risk for type 2 diabetes, and the higher the dose, the higher the incidence of diabetes. Campbell also talks about beta-carotene, citing a study showing that smokers taking beta-carotene supplements had a 46% increased risk of developing lung cancer and a 26% increased risk of cardiovascular mortality. But beta-carotene intake from food is associated with a lower lung cancer risk. The evidence hasn't convinced the supplement industry. The industry continues to insist that the studies are flawed and to point out that taking certain supplements does change biomarkers such as cholesterol and blood sugar levels. Campbell points out that changed biomarkers are not proxies for improved health, but surrogate markers are used as a reason to recommend both supplements and drugs because it's easier and cheaper to measure biomarkers than it is long-term health improvement, even though what people are interested in, if they could actually sort of think through this and tell you what their objective is, it's long-term health. It's not a temporary change in biomarkers. Campbell devotes a chapter to reductionist social policy, which includes the effect of our diet and healthcare system on the environment, global warming, the quantity and quality of our water supply, deforestation, world hunger, and animal welfare, all powerful reasons to adopt a plant-based diet. And I won't go through all of that. I've spoken about this at length in other messages and other things that I've written, but it really goes along with what John McDougall said in his book, The Starch Solution. The choices that we make, our personal choices, are really not so personal as it turns out, because everything affects everything. Everything we do affects us and everything and everyone around us. So tomorrow we'll start a new chapter in Dr. Campbell's book, but really all approaches to healthcare tend to be, both the alternative and traditional, tend to be based on reductionist science, and until we stop that, we're really not going to see improvement in public health. Well, that's all for now. Have a great day, and I will speak with you again tomorrow.